Recently, this past week actually, I came across a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, which is not unusual, but I hadn't seen this one before. And I found it so provocative and so meaningful, especially in light of our world today. Here's what King wrote. "We are now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as being too late. This is no time for apathy or complacency. This is a time for vigorous and positive action." Now that is a call to action. You know, it seems to me that these words he wrote 50 years ago about the civil rights movement could have been in this morning's Sunday Times, an op-ed, you know, about the global pandemic or about the devastation we all call climate change. The rugged truth I find so often about our human condition, it seems to be quite consistent across time. We don't change much. I think things change much. You know, we progress. Education and the science and technologies all allow us to know more stuff. You know, we live far more comfortably today. We see the world in a more clear way. We have more predictability about the future, certainly. But the real existential core truth remains the fierce urgency of now has never been a one-time thing. Since Adam and Eve took a delicious bite from that perfect fruit, we human beings have known the ongoing struggle of good and evil. Faced with the dual demons today of pandemic coupled with climate change, we also see clearly that tomorrow is today. In this surreal weariness and malaise of the last 6 or 7 weeks of quarantine, and at least another month or so, you know, we can lose sight of any brighter day there might be in the future. As the ecological system of this fragilely balanced planet chokes on our human toxicity, it becomes harder and harder to construct a happy ending to this story. Go in peace. No, but the thing is that we who study the scripture and who trust the redeeming God, you see, we already know that the ending has already been written. And it turns out that there is no place like home. Like Dorothy's grand adventure through Oz, our own cosmic journey always leads us back to the very beginning. And remember, in the beginning, God said, "It is good." Inspired by Dr. King, and because tomorrow undeniably is today, I thought it would be good to read the final book of the Bible. The book of Revelation is all about a world that is devolving into a terrifying chaos. The flagrant, sinful hubris of all of the humanity just caves in on itself in an apocalyptic horror. And we read about a complete societal and environmental breakdown where destruction, war, poverty, and suffering are just all relentless. But this enigmatic vision continues on. In the end, after 20 chapters a 20-chapter horror book. There's a sudden dawn of light. And this becomes a reboot of the Genesis story. The chaos and the suffering become vital ingredients that form the emergence of a new world. An entirely restored world is restructured completely. The original blessing that was in harmony and peace with God is completely reestablished, and all life is liberated from the oppression as a result that resulted from sin. So hear these words of hope from the very end of the book of Revelation in chapter 21. John's talking about the vision that he had. And he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them. They will be God's peoples, and God will be with them. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away.' And the one who is seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' And also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Please pray with me. God of darkness and light, you give birth to the universe. We are conceived from the great unfathomable depths of your bottomless, mysterious love. As we now wait in the darkness of the tomb, we cling to the reassurance that your love is still at work, even when we cannot see or comprehend it. So we pray that you would fill us this morning with the divine hope in your word and your spirit that even now blows across the heavens and the earth, creating order from disorder and resurrection from death. Amen. So, as I said earlier, when I was on the banks of the Concord River there, this is the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. A vast global movement was just immediately launched on that historic day. And I'll bet some of you were actually participating. I was way too young myself. The first Earth Day. What it did, I think, really was really important. It demonstrated that there is enormous power and strong influence of a collective nonviolent action. And now, 50 years later, I think we really need to look hard at that and some other great societal movements to help guide us all toward how we might become powerful and strong agents and advocates for real change. Even as the world edges closer to the brink of total annihilation, we must find ways to unite and say, no, this will not stand. This is a time for vigorous and positive action, as King said. This is not a time for apathy. Vigorous and positive action. To be honest, like a month ago, as we were planning worship and planning this day, I wasn't sure if this is the real time to engage in a Climate Justice Sunday. You know, when I spoke with some colleagues, some of my friends, and spoke with many of you about it, really. And in the end, it seems so clear to me that this global pandemic and this climate crisis are actually tightly intertwined. You know, both have been termed apocalyptic, and both are systematically predictable through scientifically verified evidence. This is happening. And both disaster scenarios, in both of them, the only agreed upon possible solution for our survival is for good people to organize in a collective nonviolent agreement. We must agree to live our lives differently than before. We're doing that now around the world to survive this pandemic. And no, this is not easy. We are losing time. We are losing money. And for many, what was once a secure future has collapsed into a complete uncertainty. But the agreement to quarantine is working. I think the solution to surviving climate change requires the same kind of dramatic collective worldwide agreement. The difference is that COVID-19 spreads hourly, right? I mean, we can really track the numbers in real time almost on our computers. Important and powerful people that we know have become infected. We can feel the heat from this fire raging in our backyard. However, the fierce and steady inferno of the climate catastrophe somehow does not seem to be a real threat. The enormous losses somehow don't seem to affect our day-to-day yet. The science is clear and undisputed by all the experts. And even though we've been warned for 50 years, we still have not been confronted with that fierce urgency of now. Today, I think because of this pandemic, we're all getting a taste of how billions of people around the world have been living every day for decades doing this. They've been worrying about how to get food, safe housing, accessible health care, and secure employment. I've been seeing a lot of headlines recently that label this time in our history as apocalyptic. And I don't think they're exaggerated. For me, apocalyptic is a word that actually strengthens my hope, because I know the word apocalypse means to reveal. Apocalypse is synonymous with the word revelation. And I know how that book ends, and you do too. In this extraordinary moment in time, what is being revealed is that if we are to survive, we need to change. We need to repent, which really means to just go in a different way. We need to reorder our lives so the planet can thrive once again. We need to reorder our priorities from competition to cooperation. We got to find a way. We need to value our relationships because we are discovering how desperately we really need one another. And most importantly, We need to really know deep in our hearts how all life is inextricably linked. Humanity, creation, and every molecule in the entire cosmos are bound together as one and affect one another. And this oneness spans across all time and space. This is what the poet Marie Howe called the singularity we once were. In her poem, Singularity, she quotes Walt Whitman, who said, "Every atom belonging to me as good belongs to you." Isn't that cool? Every atom belonging to me as good belongs to you. And because the revelatory moment here in this apocalyptic time is that there is a cosmic sort of vibrant singularity that's at work. A singularity of our God that transcends this dark night of existential uncertainty. Now, this is the deep and sustaining hope that nourishes our weakened soul and strengthens us for the healing that it will surely come. There is a singular and perpetual cycle that is revealed in all of our scripture, in all of history, all of nature, and all of our own lived experiences. Crisis and chaos are always the critical ingredients necessary for the emergence of new life. And like natural childbirth, this is hard, agonizing work. Lives are at stake. Blood is spilled, and the pain feels unbearable. The emergence of new life is never comfortable or even manageable. But the hard truth is that this is the only way that we grow. When we can see beyond the fierce urgency of now to a beautiful and extraordinary new life, the New Jerusalem, that will be birthed on the far side of these labor pains, we will find an enduring hope that somehow rises up to carry us through. Today, God is inviting us to push through, to breathe, and then push again. And we will. Because even in this hard labor, we can know a deeper joy given to us by the one who assured us when he said, "See, I am making all things new." People of God, this is a time for vigorous and positive action. Amen.